John 17. And I'm going to read through verse 20 as well this morning. I've made known your name to those who gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now we know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name, that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you had given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may know my joy be made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. Glory to you, O Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invite the youth to come forward, or children to come forward for a children's message. So you're the children's message this morning. Have you ever had a hard time to pray? Ever had a difficult time with words coming out, perhaps? Another question. Have you ever had someone pray for you? Thanks for coming up, Julian. Great. You came up here to save me, didn't you? The congregation can answer, too. Have you ever had someone pray for you? Or you remember hearing someone say your name when they prayed on that? Not really. Sometimes. Sometimes we hear our name mentioned in a prayer, and sometimes I think that's a comforting, reassuring word that someone's praying for us and knowing that someone is praying for us. In the gospel that I just read, Jesus is praying for the disciples, and in turn, Jesus is praying for us. And I think that's pretty amazing that Jesus is praying for us. Sometimes people have a hard time coming up with or not sure exactly how to pray or what to say when they pray. Have you ever wondered or had a difficult time praying or coming up with a word to say? Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes me too. Someone taught me years ago a way to remember how to pray. And the way they suggested was you take your hands and you fold them like you're going to pray. And if you do that, which finger is closest to you? Your thumb. So you begin by praying for those closest to you, perhaps your mom or dad or husband or wife or friends. You pray for those people that are closest to you. And then your pointer finger, that one's for those people that point us the way to go. It might be a teacher, it might be a mom or a dad, those people that point us in the right direction. And then your tallest finger, that's for the ones that are in authority, the ones that are protecting us, the ones that are guiding us. And then this finger here, the ring finger, is that a very strong finger? You try to, if you were going to pull on all your fingers, which one would be the weakest? Probably the pinky, but sometimes pinkies can be pretty strong too. This ring finger is sometimes called the weakest finger. So we remember to pray for those that are weak in our midst, whether it be people that are homeless, people that don't have enough to eat, whatever it might be, but those that are weak around us. And then the pinky, that's when it comes to us, right? We pray for ourselves as well. So different ways to remember to pray, who to pray for, how to pray. The thumb is those closest to you, pointer, those the people that point us in the right direction, and the longest finger, those in authority, and then that middle finger, that or the finger for the ring finger, kind of a weak finger. We pray for those that are in need around us. And pinky, we pray for ourselves and how God might want us to do. We pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for praying for us and for helping us to pray for others. Amen. What kind of a cookie might go with this morning? A hand would be an excellent idea. And I invite the congregation to join in singing Jesus Loves Me, our next hymn. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. He asked, "Do you want me to pray for you?" It seemed like an odd question, though I don't know why. I was going through a challenging time, and my friend wanted to help, and for him it meant to pray for me. Do you have a memory of your mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, someone saying prayers with you when you were little, very little? Did you pray with your children or someone else's children before they went to bed at night when they were very young and then stop at some later point in time? I wonder why I quit going into my son's room and praying with him in the evening. Was it during junior high? Did I think he was getting too old for me to come in? Or was it that I just thought that the habit had been ingrained and that he would say them on his own? Of course, at times my wife and I reminded him to pray. Why did it seem natural for me to pray with my son at a young age, but then not so much as he got older? Have you had a similar experience, praying with your children or with your siblings or friends? Why did it seem more natural to pray with them when they were 2 rather than 22 or 52 or 82? Why can it seem difficult, odd, or challenging to pray with a spouse or friend? I wonder, what's the risk? What's the danger? I wonder if it comes from a sense of letting your guard down, of being vulnerable to another person, even if you love them. I wonder if it might have something to do with believing that we can hide or not disclose things to someone we love, but we can't get away with it when we're talking to God. Then there are those times when it seems like we can't find the right words, or perhaps any words at all to say. We might be praying for ourselves or those we love the most. We might be alone or with others. Perhaps it's in your living room, or hospital room, a conference room. Perhaps we're tired. Perhaps we don't know where to start. Perhaps we think our issues or problems aren't that important. Or perhaps we don't have to have an excuse. Perhaps simply we just don't seem to get the words out. If praying is what keeps us in touch with God, and in some mystical way unites us with each other as we pray together, why can it feel so difficult to pray at times? Could it be that the difficulties we have in praying together stem from the evil one that Jesus is praying that we would be kept safe from in today's gospel? Jesus is gathered together with the disciples for that last meal. He's washed their feet. He's taught them. What's left for Jesus to do? He lifts them up to God in prayer. And what does he ask God to do for them? Give them success in their life and ministry? Help them overcome the opposition of the scribes and the chief priests and the Pharisees? Bless them with good health, long life, and prosperity. The upper room was filled with pain and abandonment, I think. Jesus knows that as they leave and make their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas will betray him, soon Peter will deny him three times, and eventually all of them will deny him at the foot of the cross. The upper room must have been filled with some sense of loss, with anxious hearts. And so Jesus enters into the scene and prays for the disciples. He doesn't pray that their lives will be easy. He knows it won't be. This world is captive to a spirit which leads us to believe that there won't be enough to go around. It's a spirit of scarcity rather than abundance, fear instead of courage, guarding what we have instead of releasing what we have, building our safety nets instead of throwing the nets to others, of selfishness instead of sacrificial love. Thankfully, Jesus, the one who came to bring abundant life, knows our weakness. He doesn't run away in the face of danger, but lays down his life for the sheep. And now he offers us an alternate vision as he prays to God for the disciples. Jesus makes clear his hopes and dreams for them and for us, and his priorities seem to be in contrast with the priorities that the world embraces. We might ask for protection from criminals, from a downward stock market, from natural disasters or health concerns. That's not what Jesus prays for. While we might wish for happiness, good pleasure, and company, Jesus prays that we experience his joy, the joy that comes from loving others. Jesus' prayer is that as the disciples are sent out into the world, they'll be protected from the evil one, the one who directs us to ourselves and not to our neighbor. Jesus doesn't pray that it'll be easy, but rather that God will keep them safe from the evil one, from all that creates fear in their lives. But I think it's a mistake to think that Jesus only prays for his disciples back in the day. In the next verse, that last verse that I read in the gospel, it read, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but on behalf of those who will believe in me." We are all those who will believe in Jesus. That's right. Jesus, on the night before his death, prays for us. And that's the prayer our Lord prayed and is still praying for us. Amazing, isn't it? What do you want Jesus to be praying for us about right now? Jesus doesn't lead us to believe that every problem, dilemma, or emergency we face is going to disappear. Jesus didn't pray that Scotty will beam us up, transport us to a safe place, or that all of our problems will suddenly vanish, or that our faithful life will be easy. Jesus is praying that we kept safe from the evil one, from those forces that prevent us from praying for ourselves and each other, from with our children, our family, our friends. Jesus is praying that we be kept free from all those forces which seek to diminish the abundant life that God wants to give to us, or that life that we take for granted. What do you want Jesus to be praying for you about right now? What do you want Jesus to know about your life? Is it patience to be a better friend or parent? Is it encouragement through challenging times? Is it courage to stand up to a bully in the classroom or befriend a friendless kid at school? Is it joy in the face of the loss of a loved one? Is it hope to find a way out when it appears that the doors are closing? Is it finding a friend, companionship? Is it healing of body, mind, or spirit? Is it to believe that God has forgiven you, or the ability to forgive someone else? For what can God pray for you about? What do you need? What does our country or world need that you want Jesus to know about and pray for? When you believe that Jesus is praying for you, your life is different somehow. When someone prays with you, life is different somehow. Perhaps it can be described as God's presence. It might happen when someone is sitting next to you in silence, or being alone in a kayak, or on a dock, or on a mountain, or on a boat, or at a concert, or in worship. Somehow, which is hard to explain, your heart becomes a little less troubled. You're a bit more at peace. I think that's what it's like to overhear Jesus praying for you. One way to remember that Jesus is praying for you is to write down one word that captures what you want Jesus to pray for. You could tear a piece of paper off your bulletin this morning. Use it to write down that one word. Carry it with you this week. Put it in your pocket or billfold or purse. Pull it out from time to time during the week. Remind yourself that Jesus knows your need, that Jesus cares about you, and that Jesus is praying for you. That is what makes it possible for us to continue following Jesus, trying to be faithful. Possible for us to confess that we're not faithful and yet believe that we are forgiven. Possible for us to love ourselves and each other. Jesus prayed for us and continues to pray for us, keeping us close to his heart. Joy, Jesus is with you, loves you, and cares for you that much. Carolyn Lewis asked, and I quote, "Have you ever thought what it might feel like, sound like, to overhear Jesus praying for you?" Unquote. Let me repeat that. Have you ever thought about what it might feel like, sound like, to overhear Jesus praying for you? It's not that we deserve it. It's not that we've earned it. It's a grace-filled moment. It's a pure gift to have Jesus, your Savior, praying for you throughout your life, from beginning to end. May you hear his voice every day. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day has changed to number 732. I was there to hear your born and cry. Number 732. Was there to hear your morning cry, I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you well. In a place of light you wandered up to find where demons dwell. When you heard the wonder of the word, I was there to cheer you on. You were raised to praise the living Lord, to whom you now belong. If you find someone to share your time, and you join your hearts as one, I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk till rising sun. In the middle ages of your life, not too old, no longer young, I'll be there to guide you through the night, complete what I've begun. When the evening gently closes in and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there as I have always been, with just one more surprise. I was there to hear your morning cry, I'll be there. The day you were baptized to see.